So today's class will be given by His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji from ISKCON Juhu on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7. We're starting with verse 1. It is my privilege this morning to introduce Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji to the group. Prabhuji is MBA by profession but joined full-time in ISKCON Juhu in 2011 and currently serving in ISKCON Juhu as the temple commander, new Bhakti director. He also does youth preaching, congregation preaching, and also serves in the management roles. When Prabhuji was in Pune for MBA studies, someone suggested to him to read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in December 2005, during the book marathon, he purchased the Bhagavad Gita at a mall and started reading it because of his sincere desire to read Bhagavad Gita since his school days. And he felt that all his questions were answered by Srila Prabhupada. So within 3 to 4 months, he visited the local ISKCON temple in Pune for the first time, and that's how his journey in Krishna consciousness began. Eventually, Prabhuji got initiated in 2008. He worked for a few years, and then eventually he joined full-time at ISKCON Juhu in 2011. There's so much to be said about Prabhuji, but I will stop here. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Prabhuji is having trouble joining. So, Ishwari Kumari Mataji, can you connect him? I think you have 1H. I have sent you the phone number.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Chakravarti Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for joining this morning and giving us your valuable association all the way from Mumbai and enlightening us on this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji. You
can everyone hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji. We can hear you.
Okay,
Prabhuji.
So we shall start now.
Yes, Prabhuji. Please.
Shall we start, Mother?
Yes, okay. Prabhuji. We can finish the introduction. Please go ahead. Thank you very much.
Okay. So we'll recite the verse and then do Mangalacharan and then start. So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, chapter entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, verse 1st and 2nd. Because 1st has no purport, we'll discuss on 2nd, and already you have completed 6th chapter. So, I'll just recite text 1. Maitriya Vacha Iti Ajena No Tena Bhavena Parituṣyata Abhyadai Mahabaho Rahasya Shuyatamiti. Translation. The sage Maitreya said, O mighty Ambedura, Lord Shiva, being thus pacified by the words of Lord Brahma, spoke as follows in the answer to Lord Brahma's request. Text 2. Mahadeva Uvacha Nagam Prajesha Balanam Varnaye Nanuchintaye Deva Maya Bibhutanam Danda Satra Drito Maya. Translation. Lord Shiva said, My dear father, Brahma, I do not mind the offenses created by the demigods, because these demigods are childish and less intelligent. I do not take a serious view of their offenses, and I have punished them only in order to right them. Purport. There are two types of punishment. One is that which a conqueror imposes on an enemy, and the other is like that a father imposes on his son. There is a gulf of difference between these two kinds of punishment. Lord Shiva is by nature a Vaishnava, a great devotee, and his name in this connection is Ashutosh. He is always satisfied, and therefore he did not become angry as if he were an enemy. He is not inimical to any living entity. Rather, he always wishes the welfare of all. Whenever he chastises a person, it is just like a father's punishment to his son. Lord Shiva is like a father because he never takes seriously any offense by any living entity, especially the demigods. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamsa Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gavravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurutushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namaste Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sadasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you very much for giving me an opportunity. I seek blessings of Bhagavan so that I can speak whatever I have learned and heard from the Guru Parampara, and in due course of glorifying the subject matter, the exalted subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, may I get also some purification and try to serve all of you. So this fourth canto, Sukadeva Goswami starts, first chapter is about the daughter, of the descendant of Manu. And then the next six chapters, the very interesting and very important story or pastime about Daksha's offensive mentality and how he offends not only Lord Shiva but Lord Brahma also. And then how his entire arena, such huge arena which was prepared for the sacrifice, was destroyed by the followers of Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva leaves the place after Sati gives up her body because it was connected to Daksha. All the followers of Lord Shiva, they destroy the place, and Lord Shiva goes to Kailash. Lord Shiva goes to Kailash and he's sitting there discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with all the Vaishnavas there. So many sadhus are sitting. That is where Lord Brahma comes with demigods. Now if you remember, Daksha performed this sacrifice twice. In the first sacrifice, he couldn't perform in both the times. And the first time, he becomes angry because Lord Shiva was still sitting when Daksha entered the assembly. So out of his own false ego, he left the assembly without performing the sacrifice. And all the demigods also left. Second time, because Sati gave up her body and there was a fight and curses and counter curses and everything was destroyed, Daksha's head was chopped off and Daksha was dead. So then all the demigods, this time Brahma didn't come. Brahma had the idea prior that this is going to happen, so he didn't come. There's no question of Vishnu coming there, because he knew this will not be a successful sacrifice. And then all the demigods, they run towards Lord Brahma, that what to do. Whenever demigods are in problem, this is the best thing they do, is they go to Lord Brahma. So even though here we see that Lord Shiva is saying demigods are less intelligent and childish, but still they are demigods. They are suras. Vishnu Bhakta Bhavet Sura. So because they are devotees, whatever level, whatever degree, but they are devotees of Lord Vishnu. So they have some intelligence that whenever we are in problem, we should go to proper authority. So they go to Lord Brahma. Comparatively, if you see in Bhagavatam, many places, demons, when they are in problem, they take the control in their hands and they try to fight. So this is one good thing which we learn from demigods. Even though they do less intelligent thing, they do childish activities, they are punished again and again, but every time they go and take shelter of Lord Brahma, who is the Acharya. And Brahma, along with all the demigods, goes to Kailash. And in the previous chapter you have read, there's a description of Mount Kailash. So beautiful. And Lord Shiva is sitting there. So Brahma goes and pleases or pacifies Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, whose name is Ashutosh, means who easily gets pacified, he agrees. And then by his blessings only, Daksha is given the head of the goat, because goat was the animal which was kept as for sacrifice. So the animal was cut and the head was given to Daksha. And then all other demigods, whoever, or the brahmanas, whoever offended Shiva, they all were given mercy by Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was invited by Brahma himself, and Daksha starts the prayer. So in this chapter, in the 7th chapter, Lord Shiva blesses all the demigods and Daksha, and then Daksha is given the consciousness back again, life back. Then he prays to Lord Shiva, regretting about his offensive activities towards Lord Shiva. And then after the prayer, Daksha starts the sacrifice. As soon as Daksha pours the sacrificial things like ghee in the fire, Lord Vishnu appears. Again, it's very interesting and very important for all the sadhakas, this pastime, because it shows what can happen when we offend a Vaishnava and what can happen when we please a Vaishnava. Both are given. Daksha offends Shiva and he is killed. An entire sacrifice is destroyed. When he pleases Lord Shiva, just by few prayers Lord Shiva is getting pleased. It's not difficult to please a Vaishnava. It's very difficult to offend a Vaishnava, because Vaishnavas generally don't take offenses. But the dust at the lotus feet of Vaishnava takes offenses. So Shiva didn't take offense. He's telling that I didn't take any offense. But the dust at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva took offense. And that destroys the offender. So in this way, we see that Daksha offended Lord Shiva, got destroyed. And with few prayers, he pleases Lord Shiva. And what is the result of pleasing a Vaishnava is that Lord Vishnu immediately appeared there. As soon as he started his sacrifice, not the finish of sacrifice, as soon as he starts the sacrifice, Lord Vishnu comes and he blesses Daksha. And then Daksha prays to Lord Vishnu, and then the sacrifice happens. All the devotees there, they pray. Lord gives the instructions and then he leaves. Lord leaves the arena. So, in today's, and then if you see at the end, Shruti Phala is given. Very interesting one who reads this pastime or hears this pastime. Anyways, this is about the about this chapter in short. Now, in today's pastime, today's verse, it is said, Na agham. Na agham means, I do not take offense. Prajesha, O Brahma, I do not take offense of these less intelligent demigods. Why? Because Balanam, they are like child. They are like children to me. And what they have done is a childish activity. So I do not consider that. And that too, they are all afflicted or influenced by the external energy of Lord. They are under the influence of Maya. But still, I gave them punishment in order to correct them. And then Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he mentions that there are two kinds of consciousness while punishing someone. Two kinds of personalities or two kinds of consciousness. One is when a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva punishes someone. It's like Narada Muni cursing Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So this is similar. It's like a motherly or a fatherly punishment given to the child for the benefit of child. And then another is the real enemy when he punishes, because he does not want any benefit of the opponent. He just wants to destroy the opponent. So Lord Shiva here has exhibited quality of tolerance, of mercy. So these two qualities, when Mother Devahuti is asking Lord Kapila that, my dear Lord, you said that we should detach ourselves from material things and attach to sadhu, because attachment to sadhu leads to the opening of doors of liberation. But who is the sadhu? How can I recognize who is the sadhu? And then Lord Kapila says, Titikshwa Karunika Surada Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatra Shanta Sadhu Sadhava Bhushanam. Entire verse is applicable here on the personality of Lord Shiva. Titikshwa Karunika. Titikshwa means tolerant. Now here, Lord Shiva has exhibited tremendous amount of tolerance. He didn't become angry in the first time. He just left the place. He tolerated all the offenses what Daksha did towards Lord Shiva. He just tolerated any personal offense. He tolerated. He left the sacrificial place, went to his home. Second time, because Sati had to give up her body, and now Lord Shiva is explaining that he gives punishment to Daksha and other demigods in order to benefit them, in order to bring them back to their proper consciousness. So that is also the another quality, Karunika. Titiksha Karunika. Surada Sarvadehinam. Who is the Vaishnava? Who is the Sadhu? He is a friend of all living entities. Dehinam. Anyone who has a deha, a body, he is friend of the Vaishnava. So I'll tell you a small anecdote. Now, long back, 7 years back, I was traveling from Bombay temple, ISKCON Juhu, with my spiritual master, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, towards the airport. I was going to drop him at the airport. And the assistant of Maharaj had already gone ahead in the other car because Maharaj was in the meeting. So the assistant took the boarding pass and he checked in, everything was done. And he was calling that, Maharaj, please come. They are announcing your name. We are already late. because the airport is only 3 kilometers away from temple, so we generally don't go so early. So Maharaj was, now Maharaj got stuck into traffic. Our car got stuck into traffic. And then Maharaj told his secretary, he was traveling in Kingfisher Airlines that time, "You tell the Kingfisher staff," Maharaj told his secretary, "you tell the Kingfisher staff that I am the friend of Vijay Mallya." Now, Vijay Mallya is the chairman of the Kingfisher, was the chairman of Kingfisher Airlines. And I was sitting a surprise. How come Maharaj is friend of this person, the chairman's? And he's telling with so much boldness that I am the friend of the chairman of the airlines. You go and tell the staff. Our secretary got nervous. How can I go and tell that friend of chairman is coming? And later I thought about this verse, because this is one of the most quoted verse by Maharaj. So I immediately thought of this verse, that Surada Sarvadehinam. Actually, Vaishnavas are the friends of every living entity. And the living entities have no other friend other than Lord Krishna and devotees of Lord Krishna. Everyone else is just a superficial relationship they are having. Only a devotee can, even to unknown person. And there is actually no one unknown to a devotee. Because every devotee who understands the concept, the philosophy of bhakti, who understands Krishna, he knows what Krishna is saying. Everything. Aham bija pradapita. In Bhagavad Gita, many times, many places, Krishna is telling that I am the source of creation. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate. So everyone, all my devotees, they know that I am the source. So when a devotee sees any living entity, what to talk of another devotee? When a devotee sees every living entity, human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, germs, they see them as part and parcel of Krishna. And we have so many pastimes of great acharyas. There was Vasudev Vipra. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on the South India Yatra, he stayed at the place of Kurma Brahman. And there is Vasudev leper, who had this deadly, terrible disease where his body was eaten up by the worms. And his body will stink like anything, because all the body was covered up by worms. Whenever he would walk, because of his walking, some worms will fall down from his body. They will fall off from his body on the ground. What he'll do? He was so merciful. Now, if we have some mosquitoes biting, we want to just kill them. And if not, at least kick them off, out. What to talk of worms, you know, making house in our body? We'll immediately go to doctor and get it cured. This Vasudeva will, when he'll see that worms have fallen off from his body, he will consider this body in service of the worms. So he will take the worms, put it back on the place so that they can eat his body. Just see the level of, not only tolerance and mercy, what understanding that they are also children of Krishna. And I am also child of Krishna. If I have the adhikar to be in this body, then these worms also have adhikar to stay on this body. And let them eat. And he will take the worms and put it back. So this is the level of Vaishnavas we have in our parampara. This is the quality of acharyas we have. And we should be proud that we are connected to such a movement, such organization, where our ancestors have shown tremendous mercy and friendliness and tolerance and humility. We know about Haridas Thakur and other devotees. So when a devotee, he sees everyone and anyone in the universe, he sees them as part and parcel of Krishna. Prabhupada, in one of the purports in Bhagavatam, he says that when the mother gives birth to the child, along with the child, some worms also take birth. They also come out of the body of mother. So they are actually like brothers and sisters of the child. We cannot even perceive. A normal man, he will say that, you know, this Swamiji is a madman. But they took birth from the mother's body together. So they are like twin brothers and so many brothers and sisters. Because the devotee can see that every soul, no matter what body they have acquired or inherited because of their own karma, but they are part and parcel of Krishna. It's like, let us take an example. When we go on the street, someone is driving a car, a BMW. Someone is driving Mercedes. Someone is driving a local car. Someone is driving a truck, hired truck. And someone is, in India, we have these auto rickshaws and cycle rickshaws. You would have seen in Vrindavan and Mayapur cycle rickshaws. So all the different vehicles are driven by different drivers.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes?
Hare Krishna. Sorry to interrupt, but can you be a little louder? Can you come closer to the phone? Because some devotees are having trouble hearing.
Because I have kept the phone. Okay, I'll try to speak more louder.
Yeah.
I'll try to speak louder. So when we see these different vehicles, you know the imported car and the local car and the cycle rickshaw, auto rickshaw, bus, truck, we see different vehicles driven by different drivers. But all the drivers are human beings. We don't differentiate between them. So similarly, different bodies are like different vehicles. Someone may have a human body. Someone may have an animal body. Someone may have a bird body, a reptile body. But the soul, the driver of the body is same. Same in the sense, same part and parcel of Krishna. Qualitatively, all the souls are same. What to talk of all the souls are same? We are same as Krishna, qualitatively. So, that understanding a devotee has. And with this understanding only, a devotee sees the entire world. So he will not differentiate. He will not differentiate. And Krishna says, one who does not differentiate, he can easily attain me. Because he is not differentiating between me and my parts and parcels, who are qualitatively one. He will easily attain me. Now, what to talk of differentiating between Krishna and soul? We have tendency, we conditioned souls have tendency to differentiate at all the levels. We differentiate based on country, we differentiate based on color of skin, we differentiate based on the activities, we differentiate based on, you know, which ethnicity, which group. Even sometimes we as a sadhaka differentiate among devotees. It is said that all the activities performed for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, they are same. Whether someone is offering arati to Lord, or someone is mopping the temple hall, or someone is doing the gardening outside the temple. But everything is connected to Krishna, and all the services connected to Krishna are on the absolute platform. This is the meaning of absolute. Krishna is absolute. Anything connected to Krishna is absolute. Anything not, everything is in a way connected to Krishna, but we see some things not connected to Krishna, that is relative. That is not absolute. And that's a wrong philosophy. Krishna is absolute. So all the services, like Krishna's head and Krishna's feet and Krishna's hand and Krishna's every part of body is same. There's no differentiation. But we have a tendency to differentiate. Why? Because we do not see everything connected to Krishna. Whether any living entity or whether the dead matter, everything is. Bhumi rapa nalo vayu kham mano buddhire vacha. Ahankara iti amte. So all these eight elements by which, mixing of which, every dead matter also is produced. Krishna is saying, that's my energy. Vinna prakriti ashtada. It is my prakriti. It is my energy. And Krishna and Krishna's energy on the absolute platform are non-different. And every paraphernalia, this is in general, the paraphernalia which we use in temple, or any devotee uses paraphernalia in service of Krishna, even in their house. That is expansion of Balaram. So everything, whether matter or living entity, is part and parcel of Krishna. And if we see that connection, then it's very easy to save ourselves from offenses. Let me tell you one story. So there was a bus stop. In a small town, there was a bus stop, and one school boy came there. Small boy, he came from school, like 6-7 years old boy, he came from school, and he's sitting at the bus stop waiting for his bus. He has to go home, which is half an hour away from that place, from the bus stand, and the bus will come only after 15 minutes. The frequency of the bus was 15 minutes. And there was also one old man who was sitting at the bus stop waiting for the same bus. So when the bus came, now this old man and this boy, they are not connected. They don't know each other. So what do we do? In India, we try to capture. Why? Because there are limited seats and more number of passengers if you don't have a reservation. So when the bus came, both this old man and this small child, this young kid, they both were trying to board the bus together and both got stuck at the door. And both were like kind of, you know, pushing each other to go at inside. But both were determined. So ultimately, both fell off the bus and bus left. And you know, how do you feel when you miss the bus and now you have to again wait for 15 minutes? It's evening and after, you know, you're tired from office or school or college and you have to go home and you miss the transportation. A little frustrating. Okay, sometimes maybe more frustrating. So this child was looking at the old man with anger in his eyes. And similarly the old man. Both were angry, furious at each other. And another bus came after 15 minutes. And similar thing happened. Both were trying to board the bus. Both fell off the bus and bus left. And now this is half an hour of wastage. 30 minutes got waste. So finally this old man couldn't tolerate. He said, you are a young fellow. You can wait for another bus. Let me go. I'm old man. And he said that you are old man. Anyways, you have nothing to do in life. I want to go home, eat my, food, and then play. So then they started talking, because now anyway, 15 minutes they have to wait, bus will come. They started talking. So this young fellow, he asked that, where do you want to go? So he said, I want to go to this place. The young boy said, oh, I am also going to the same place. Where exactly? He said, street number 10. Say, for example, street number 10, I want to go. The young boy said, I am also going to street number 10. Which house you want to go? I have never seen you in that street. I always play there. He said, I want to go house number 25. Now, young boy, to his surprise, he stays in house number 25. So he told to old man, you are going to my house and I have never seen you. Then this old man asked, what is your name? What is your father's name? Because old people, they may not connect with you, but they know the fathers. So when the young boy told about his father's name, he could easily understand. The old man said, oh, I am your grandfather's brother, but I am coming home to meet all of you. I am coming after 10 years. You were not even born. So now you see what happened. This old man said, I am brother of your grandfather. That means I am your grandfather. The relationship is revealed, which was kept secret for 30 minutes. Now it is revealed. And immediately this young boy, he touched the feet of this old man, because he is grandfather. And they embraced each other. They were talking and the bus came. Now the young boy said to grandfather, oh grandfather, you go. You might be tired. You go home. I will come in the next bus. And the grandfather said, no. You go, child. You have not eaten anything since morning. You might be hungry. You have to go. You have to do your homework, studies, play. You go. And finally, they both cooperated. Both entered the bus and reached home. So, the common connection was the grandfather of that child and brother of this old man. So between two living entities, similarly, we hate someone, we love someone, we like someone, we don't like someone. This is all because we are under the influence of illusory potency of Krishna. We are under illusion. That's why we hate someone, we love someone. The duality in the material creation. This is duality. I like something, I don't like something. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Hey Bhalo, Hey Manda, Hey Sab Brahma. Hey Bhalo, this is good. He is good. Hey Manda, this is not good or he is not good. This is all Brahma. This is all illusion. So how can we come out of this illusion? When we see that we are connected to the same origin or same source of creation, Krishna. So when we see that Krishna is the creator and the controller and the maintainer of this entire spiritual and material worlds, and all the living entities, not only living, even the dead matter has come for Krishna, has come from Krishna, then we will have a relationship. And that is where, when we understand the philosophy purified in our consciousness, we will become Surada Sarvadehina. And when you understand this, then no enemy. Ajata Shatrava Shanta. You don't have any enemy. So all these four qualities were exhibited here by Lord Shiva. He didn't consider even Daksha as his enemy. Obviously, he didn't see the relationship of father-in-law and son-in-law, which was anyways over by the death of Sati. But he saw that Lord Shiva is supremely exalted. Not different from Lord Vishnu. So he saw these are childish. So all these four qualities of Vaishnava were exhibited by Lord Shiva here. And in the future verses, we'll see just by little bit of prayers and repentance, Daksha pleases Lord Shiva. This entire pastime happened in the period of Swayambhuva Manu. And then Daksha, by mercy of Lord Shiva, he goes and performs austerities and penances for the time period equivalent to four Manus. And again in the sixth Manu, the Chakshusha Manu, Daksha reappears. This time he was a Brahmana, but later after the sixth Manu, he will reappear as the Kshatriya, where he'll give birth to 1,000 children, 10,000, 11,000 boys, all were made into sannyasis by Narada Muni. And then he gives birth to 60 daughters who helped Daksha to procreate and to fill up this entire, to populate this entire material universe. So it's only by, he offended Lord Shiva, but the hope is only Lord Shiva. So even though we, Prabhupada says, even though we may offend the holy name, we may offend a Vaishnava, our hope is still the Vaishnava and the holy name. One devotee asked Prabhupada, we are committing so many offenses while chanting. Prabhupada says, keep chanting. There is no other hope. Even if we are committing offenses, keep chanting. The same chanting, the same Naam Prabhu will purify us. Even though we are offending, we are making committing offenses at His lotus feet, same Naam Prabhu will purify. We should try to avoid Vaishnava offense and the holy name offenses, two most, greatest offenses. We should try to avoid. But even if something happens, we should still take shelter of the Vaishnava. And there are many such pastimes from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam. We don't have time, but the hope is there. This verse gives also, this verse talks about the quality, the soft qualities of Vaishnava. That means, person like me, the conditioned soul, illusioned by the illusory potency of Krishna, I have hope that these Vaishnavas are very merciful. I have hope that Naam Prabhu is very merciful. So one of the quality of devotee is, he is ashabad. He is bound by the hope. And Prabhupada used to use this word, hope against the hope. So we should never lose our hope, whatever may be the situation. So we'll stop here because time has already passed. And if anyone wants to make any comment, add anything, or want to ask something, please welcome. And please correct me if I would have spoken something wrong.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very wonderful. I wanted to know if Maharaj made it to his flight.
Madhuri, can't hear you. Can you speak a little louder?
Yes, Prabhuji. I was curious if Gopal Krishna Maharaj made it to his flight. So he left that task time a little bit incomplete. I wanted to know what was the end result.
Oh, what was that? That was interesting result. So then we got stuck completely into the traffic. We didn't take the highway. And the driver said, let us take the inner road. And it was only one way. And for 2 kilometers, the road was blocked. So 2 kilometers. 3.5 kilometers, the airport, 2 kilometers. Then Maharaj said, what to do? Then I got down from the car. Somehow we tried to clear the traffic. Finally we reached. Maharaj got the flight.
He got the flight, yeah.
He got the flight. That's the end result. But,
thank you very much for sharing, Prabhuji, that last time.
Anyone else wants to add something?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam. Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's a very, very nice class. Prabhu, I have one question.
Yes?
Prabhuji, you are telling the difference. The devotee never take offenses. But the boss of devotee didn't take offenses. Can you explain more about this, Prabhu?
Okay. So, the question is that the devotees, they never take offenses, but the dust at the lotus feet of devotee take offense. So, if you see in the entire Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Vaishnavas, they are all absorbed in Krishna Katha, in Krishna Naam, they are not bothered. And they see everyone as connected. These are very exalted Vaishnavas. Huh? So, they don't even consider. They consider, they are so humble, that even if you offend them, they will not take as an offense. Like our Srivas Pandit, who offended? Chapal Gopal. Gopal Chapal, he kept this paraphernalia like wine and meat outside the house of Shiva's Pandit to prove to the world that Shiva's Pandit is actually worshipper of Durga and not of Shiva, not of Vishnu. So Shiva's Pandit, he saw in the morning, and he told all the villagers, he called all the villagers, "See, look, I am just fooling you people. I am a hypocrite. And I actually worship Durga, Kali. But I tell that I am a Vaishnava." And no one believed him. Everyone knew he is a Vaishnava. Now, Shrivas Pandit actually didn't take any offense. He didn't even thought about it. But Gopal Chappal became leprous. You know, he became a leper. He got inflicted with leprosy. And for 3 years he was suffering. And he went to many people. No one was showing any mercy to him. So when Mahaprabhu, he started his Sankirtan movement, he came. And Gopal Chappal approached Mahaprabhu that, "My Lord, now I have heard that you have started this movement and you are so merciful. Please be merciful on me." But Mahaprabhu became very angry. He said, "You have not offended me, you have offended my dear devotee." Similarly, we see Jagai Madai. Nityananda didn't take any offense. But Lord was ready to kill. Lord called the Sudarshan Chakra ready to chop off. When Haridas Thakur was being beaten into 22 marketplaces, Haridas Thakur didn't take any offense of these people who were beating him. Sudarshan Chakra immediately came to chop off their head. And Haridas Thakur prayed to Sudarshan Chakra that do not harm them. They are just doing their duty. Similarly, when Mahaprabhu told to Chappal Gopal, "You go and beg mercy from Srivas." So he came to Srivas Pandit, and Srivas Pandit said, "I never considered that you did any offense. You didn't do anything wrong to me." So devotees are so humble, they do not consider. But Krishna does not pardon. And the person has to suffer, like Daksha has to suffer, like Gopal Chappal. So dust at the lotus feet is like energy. It does not, pardon the offender. Basically, Krishna is one who comes into action. If we offend a Vaishnava, Vaishnava will not do anything. But Krishna will come into action. And he will punish us. That is the meaning. And Prabhupada also says that we should tolerate the personal offenses on us. As a sadhaka, as a devotee, anyone offends us, we should tolerate. But anyone offends Lord Vishnu or the devotees of Lord Vishnu, we should never tolerate. But we are conditioned soul. We cannot tolerate anyone disturbing us. We immediately become hyper. But we learn. So personal, we should all. But if we offend the Vaishnava, he will say, okay, no problem. But Krishna will not forgive so easily. Until unless we repent, we beg forgiveness again and again and again, we get purified, Krishna will not leave. So we should be very careful.
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And also, I like the example you gave that that grandfather and the young son. We're fighting. That is very nice. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, all of you, for your patience hearing. I'm sorry I would have spoiled your morning by speaking. I don't know what I spoke. So somehow try to remember what I have learned and then repeat.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yes. Prabhu. Prabhu, I have one question.
Yes,
Mataji. Yes. Prabhuji, you said like we do offenses again and again, like similarly, like when we chant, we don't chant so attentively or we commit sometimes some offenses, but still we should chant again and again. But how to improve this tendency? Even though when we chant, we have heard so many times, so many lectures, so many things we have in our mind, but still the mind is so powerful that it drags us towards something other rather than chanting attentively. So what to do, what we should do while we chant or we do some offenses, then we go to the authorities, again we do some offenses, then we again go. So how to improve this tendency?
The mind is very powerful. Even if we can realize it, we are like very exalted. You know, Lord Krishna, when he descends to this material world in Dwapar Yuga as a son of Vasudev, he first enters the mind of Vasudev. There are six reasons for that. And one of the reasons, I'll just tell one reason, Lord Krishna wanted to know what is this mind. Everyone is affected with this, terrorist called mind. So Krishna wanted to know, obviously Krishna knows, but mind is no doubt, it is Krishna's energy. Mind is Krishna's energy. So it is not so easy to overcome. And we have been controlled by mind from time immemorial. But you see, the child, a small child, he may be a one-year-old child, and he starts to sit. And then he walks on knees and hands. And then he gradually stands up. 1 year, a few months, he'll stand up and he'll start walking, holding the wall or something. And then he will try to walk without holding. Because he's seeing everyone in the world is walking without holding. Why shall I just sit down in the house? I also want to walk. But when he starts walking, what happens? He falls. He'll fall down. He'll sit. Again he will stand up. Again he'll fall down. Again he'll stand up. Again he'll fall down. Thousands of times he falls, but he stands up. If a small child of 1 year, few months old, can show that determination, one day I will walk, no matter how many times I will fall, I'll fall down, but I'll still stand up and walk. We should learn. If a child can show that determination, why can't we show that determination? Even though today I'm inattentive, let me try tomorrow to be attentive in chanting. At least out of 16 rounds, 108 mantras, which is 16 into 108, 1728 mantras, today I heard one mantra attentively. Tomorrow, at least let me hear two mantras attentively. Gradually, with very strong determination, we should go. We should never give up on the determination. We should never give up the hope. Because who is with us? You have Krishna with you. You have Guru. You have entire Guru Parampara. And Krishna means, scripture says, when Krishna means everything. All the demigods, all even Maya will support. We have to just show to the devotees and to Maya and to Krishna, whatever may come, I will still want to chant attentively. Even though last 20 years I have been chanting, but I have not chanted attentively, tomorrow I want to chant attentively. That determination comes from the hope. Hope on the mercy of Krishna. And when Krishna sees, he is determined to do something for me, Krishna will remove the obstacles from our path. We can only try to chant attentively. That's why Maharaj says, chant attentively. Just hear. We should try. And then Guru and Krishna, they will personally remove the obstacles on the path. And you will see, in very short time, you will start chanting very smoothly and attentively. But we have to show them that I am determined. I am not loser. I'm not a lukewarm performer. I am determined to achieve Krishna in my life. I am determined to achieve mercy of Guru in my life. I am determined to chant attentively in this life. So if we show that, and don't think too much. What I did, I don't think. I was told to chant, and here I focus on chanting and hearing. That's all. Mind will come, mind will do his job, we should do our job. Let the mantra, many devotees, we discussed about this. Recently, I conducted a course also, Japa Ashraya course for 4 days. So devotees ask, so I suggest that we should try to hear the mantra. If you try to hear the mantra, that the sound of this holy name, vibration of the holy name goes in the ear, then you will see your pronunciation will also improve. And mind, the disturbance of mind will reduce when we hear. Because mind does not want you to chant. Because if you chant, you will become perfect in chanting, you will become a devotee, and then mind will be subdued by you. And who wants to be subdued? Mind is a controller in our conditioned stage. Mind does not want to become controlled. So he will stop you. Mind will stop you. But we should keep chanting, keep chanting, keep chanting, keep chanting, keep chanting. And sometimes we can hear more about glories of holy name, and we should chant more. Whenever we have time, we should try to chant more. Ekadashis or festivals, or sometimes on weekdays or weekends, we have little more time. Let us chant few more rounds. By every holy name we vibrate through our tongue, the mind is getting beaten up. So beat the mind so much that he will have no energy left to disturb us. I can share whatever from my experience this much. But never give up the hope.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. It helps a lot. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you for joining from India. Wonderful explanation.
My pleasure.
Good service attitude you sound. That's very wonderful to hear. Couple of points I want to say. Is it okay?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji, please.
Yeah, you brought one very good point about the best of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. You know, Vaishnavas being very merciful.
Yes.
The spiritual master and all the stalwarts being very merciful. So they don't take the offense. But the dust takes. Dust is the one who has taken shelter.
Yes.
Of the lotus feet of the spiritual master or the great Mahatma. So who are the dust? You actually always covered, but those who have taken shelter of the devotees or the spiritual master, they are his dust. So the disciples are the dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. The Lord Shiva's associates, those who have surrendered to his fold, they are his dust. So
yes,
they woke up and they just took care of the situation. Although the spiritual master, the great Mahatma like Mahajan, Lord Shiva, remained undisturbed, but the followers, they just couldn't take the insult of their master. So that is what is also wonderfully explained in our scriptures. And regarding...
Yes, sorry.
One more thing. Regarding this chanting, you know, it's like a perennial problem we almost all of us face in attentive chanting. So it should make us think of our actual position. You said very well that it should give us the understanding that how much short we fall from the standard, you know. It will always give us a humble attitude. I myself is like deprived of the standard which is aspired or desired by devotees and all of us sadhakas. So, because then the sense of achievement will not bother us to cause the arrogance. We have yet to achieve the standard given. And when, as you said, our sincerity will be there, then Guru Gauranga will definitely bless us. And that hope against all hope, that's a beautiful thing. The example given in this regard is like a child who has fallen in love with a moon, you know, and he wants to jump up and catch the moon. So in the sadhana stage, our attachment for sadhana is very strong. We want to do the needful things, and still the standard is missing. So what to do? We just cry out. We cry out to attain that level. And when Krishna is right attitude, right thinking, strong desire. He can, so if the moon comes down and looks that somebody is crying for me, dying for me, then he can catch up our hand. But we have to sustain our crying for him. This is how chanting becomes perfect eventually.
Yes, sorry. Thank you. I also remember one point where we should not chant in the mood of achiever, but we should chant in the mood of receiver. We are receiving the mercy while chanting, but sometimes we say that I want to chant, I want to finish my rounds, I want to. So that mood of achiever should not be there. Even though I am to chant, I am the person who will chant, but I should be in the mood of receiver, that by mercy of Guru and Gauranga, today I will try to attempt to chant and hear. So it's achiever's mood will not help, the receiver's mood will help to improve our chanting. That is basically nothing but humility.
Beautiful, beautiful, very beautiful. Yeah, because the sense of achievement will bring the arrogance that, I'm a better chanter, I'm the best chanter or something like that. So chanting is for the pleasure of Krishna. Chanting is for the pleasure of Krishna.
Yes.
So how much short I fall to attain that standard. So that's very enlightening rather than depressing, because then we can continue more and more and more, reaching no saturation.
Perfect, Prabhuji. Yes. Anything else? Mataji, anyone wants to add anything? Or?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. You mentioned the words about Surata Sarva Devanam. What is the reference? Where is this verse, Prabhuji? And what is the full verse? I just wanted to look it up.
Madhuri, can you repeat? I couldn't hear you clearly.
Which, you mentioned what you're referring to? Surada Sarva Dehinam, that verse.
Yes.
What is that verse?
Yes.
What is the full verse and what is the reference? I wanted to look it up.
Oh, the verse starts, Titikshva Karune Kaha Surada Sarva Dehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhu Sadhva Bhushanam Titikshva Karune Kaha. The teachings of Lord Kapila. I'll tell you, it is in 3rd canto, 20th chapter or 25th chapter, 21st verse.
Okay.
325-21 or 320-21, somewhere. Lord Kapila is explaining to, and this, I have heard from my spiritual master, he says that all the sadhakas should every day recite this verse and read the translation and purport, every day, because we want these four qualities to develop.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Honestly, I'm not doing.
Prabhuji, which one can you repeat?
Thank
one?
You. Three? This one, Titikshva Karune Kaha. I'll tell you one.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam, all the Shishila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class, and thank you so much for your. I request anybody else had any question or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji.
I think we can speak.
Yeah, I have a question that I would like to ask. Prabhuji, are you still there?
Ishwari Kumari Mataji, can you connect him again?
Yeah, sure, Mataji. Give me a second.
If it is disconnected, then that's all right. But if it is, he's still...
No, Mataji is connecting, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Now you are in conference, Prabhuji.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Prabhuji, the verse number is 325.21. Yes,
Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji, I found it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question. Jap conference calls are japing, chanting together on the telephone was not there during the time of Srila Prabhupada. Now we are doing that and it's very nice. But somebody may be, he did not come, he came. Whose sound? It may not be a pure chanting. He may be thinking somewhere and we listen to his chanting. So how much is this? Is it better to chant our own sadhana and just chant purely, try to do, listen to the sound vibration, what we are chanting? Or is it to chant along with the group and when it may be that we may fall prey to some other thoughts of different personalities, different how elevated they are, how their chanting is nice. Prabhupada is chanting, we know, is the pure devotee, and we listen. But what about this chanting in a call where we don't even know everybody who has joined, who are there, and whether we may listen to their chanting and may not listen to our own chanting and correct that. I mean, concentrate on that sound vibration. So can you please explain this phenomenon?
So you mean to say all of you, like you are coming for class, do you also come for chanting together on the phone call?
Yeah, an hour or more. Many places, not just this place, not this this conference call is before there is a japa, but there are others also that they have this kind of groups of chanting together early in the morning. And I was little bit not skeptical, means this is nice, that may be a wake-up call, but is it always good, or is it really that causes us to advance more further in pure chanting?
So it has its own advantages and also some shortcomings.
Right.
Advantage is that, you know, like in the West, or in India also, if you're not able to come to temple, all the best is that the devotees come together and chant physically. But if that
physically,
is not possible,
that is different.
If that is not possible because of, you know, different circumstances, different reasons, then you are all coming on the call, but the distraction may be that, you know, call drop ho gaya, and then the call got dropped or connected, and then anyways, when we are physically sitting together, we don't hear others chanting, we focus on our own chanting. So similarly on the call also, we should focus our own chanting. The call is good because it will give a sense of duty or a sense of responsibility that, you know, I have to go and connect on the call and everyone is chanting, I will also chant. So that will kind of force the sadhaka to join the group and chant. In that way, that is good. Because sometimes if we are alone, we may just sleep. But if we have to join the call, then we have to... So that is good. But we should not get trapped by another, trap of maya, thinking that who is doing what and not. And when we sit, when you are sitting, the call is going on, you just chant and let others chant. You have to hear your own chanting. You don't have to hear anyone else's chanting. Even if you chant and Prabhupada's tape is going on of chanting, you're not supposed to hear Prabhupada's tape. You're supposed to hear your own chanting. So even though Prabhupada is chanting pure, but you will get purified when you will hear your own chanting attentively. That is the method. Otherwise, everyone will just sit and play Prabhupada tape and hear for 2 hours. And we cannot say that, you know, done. All my 16 rounds are done. That is not the... So it should not bother whether the person chanting on the call is a senior or a junior, purified completely or less purified. Because you have to anyways hear your own chanting. You don't have to hear others chanting. Sometimes we may sit with even sannyasis. You know, sannyasi is sitting, we are sitting, chanting. But we are not supposed to hear his chanting. We are supposed to hear our own chanting. So that should not... We should not get trapped by maya using this technology. We should use this technology in service of Krishna. Okay, this is a good... But this is a good idea. Coming together and chanting. It's a sense of duty. Otherwise, a person like me may think, okay, let me sleep for some more time. And some more time will become 1 hour. So in that way, at least we can connect and chant. But chant and hear your chanting. Every individual should hear their own chanting and not others chanting. That will purify us.
So, Prabhu, unless that is really described, or this is not very much, because I see that they get a kind of like a trap that, okay, oh, this person has come on chanting, this person did not come, this is the chant, it is his or her sound.
Prabhu, this will happen even when we are physically sitting together. Suppose you bring a group of, say, 10 devotees to Vrindavan Yatra in Kartik. And then all 10 of you are sitting together in a circle and chanting. The same problem will appear there also. Oh, this devotee didn't come. He's sleeping. Oh, this devotee came for Mangalarti. After Mangalarti, he went to the guest house. Oh, this devotee went to drink some milk outside. This devotee is chanting loudly. This problem will always there, whether you're physically there or you're using the conference call for chanting. The problem will remain. This is trap of Maya. We are not...
Right.
Yeah, when you are chanting, you should be detached from everything else. You can only do something that if someone is sleeping in the chanting, you can just touch that devotee and try to wake them up very humbly. And you should continue your chanting. You should not disturb by, you know, who is doing what. None of our business.
And
we should focus on our own business of chanting.
Listen to our own chanting,
yes.
That's a very important part.
Yes. This is also called some kind of renunciation and detachment. Most of the time, we have seen some devotees who just even in the temple hall, like I'm staying in temple ISKCON Juhu, and we see morning, you know, 100-150 devotees are chanting. So some devotee will just keep watching other devotees. Oh, he's chanting, he's not chanting, he's sleeping, he's chanting loudly. What is your business? Do you want to stay here for another eternity, or you want to go back? If you want to go back, just focus on chanting. So that renunciation should be there. That detachment should be there. We are not controllers. Why should we try to control others? So whether it is on the conference call or it is in the live japa together, the problem will be same. Best is you get detached. You just join the call and you chant your round. Whether someone has come, someone has not come, none of your business. I mean, none of anyone's business. Because then Maya will let you think, oh, this devotee has not come, that means he is not advanced. Honestly, getting into criticizing the devotee and judging the devotee. We don't know for what reason that devotee couldn't come. Maybe health issue, maybe something else, maybe some technical, you know, conference call issue. Personal or using technological. Best is, especially in chanting time and hearing time, you and Krishna and Guru, no one else. And if we sleep, we should take help of other devotees. That Prabhu, I am sleeping. Whenever I get sleep in chanting, please wake me up. That's all. It is only you and your Guru and Krishna, Guru Parampara and Krishna. That's a personal time with Krishna. You should utilize that.
Thank you for explaining very nicely. Prabhu, I was another part. This dust is a dust of the lotus feet. That question was asked again. You explained very nicely. So dust that represents Krishna's power, Krishna's energy, our disciples, or the dust is a personality also, like in the spiritual world, everything is a sentient being. It's everyone is a personality. So that dust goes and out of that takes care of the offender. Or what exactly this dust means?
That's what one devotee explained very nicely, that dust is the followers of Guru.
What follower may be there, may
like
not
in
be
case
there.
Of, in case of Lord Shiva. Yeah, so follower is not there, then Krishna comes into picture. Ultimately, it is Krishna who will, deal with the offender.
But dust could
Let
have...
Let us not get into the nitty-gritty again. Yes?
Now, can it be a personality himself that dust could be? On a devotee like Krishna, every object, everything is sentient being. There is nothing dead matter.
We cannot really say in the material world how it works, the dust, what the dust means. It is exactly like, you know, is it the dust which touches the lotus feet of spiritual master? That is there, but are we talking about the same dust? May not be. Dust means some dust. So dust, when touched by a devotee, becomes dust, is also purified, and thus dust has potency to purify us. So that is also called lotus feet. The dust of lotus feet. Another meaning of lotus feet dust is instruction. Another meaning is devotees or the followers. But in all the cases, it is Krishna who will deal. Devotee may accept, he will be tolerate and he will be merciful and he will not say anything to the offender, but Krishna will not leave the offender. Krishna will use his energy, use his power to deal with the offender. That now what it does mean, let us, I mean, I'm not very technical to get into all this technical, but the principle is we should not offend the devotee. That's all.
I appreciate very much for your explanation. Thank you so much. What is your name, Prabhu, may I know?
Chakravarti Das.
Chakravarti Das. Okay. You are from Juhu Temple.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. This is Damodaranda Das from Bloomington, Illinois. I have a clarification both from both of you, Swami Krishna Prabhu and Chakra Prabhu. So, Prabhu, isn't it true that congregational chanting is better than individual chanting?
That's the key, sir.
Congregation chanting. We have to see the definition of congregational chanting. So there is something called sankirtan, which is street chanting. Right. So that is definitely has to be together. That is called kirtan. But when we talk about japa is you and your chanting. That's all. Devotees are sitting around us. That is okay. Like I sit every day with 7-8 devotees in a circle. So they are sitting with me, but I am doing my own japa. It's not that all of us together chant in one rhythm. Japa is personal. It is the individual and his japa and Krishna. And sankirtan, so the kirtan is different. So
right. Yes. So that is true, Prabhu. But we see that Prabhupada, even that Prabhupada chanting, he is chanting with many other followers. So
yeah, so everyone chants. Everyone chants,
yes,
their own chanting.
Right. So I'm just telling from my point of view and my, inclination. I personally like chanting, group chanting on the conference call for a couple of reasons. One is that it keeps me focused, when to start the chanting, because there is a time frame. I start chanting 2 hours before this Bhagavatam class. So it's finished by the time Bhagavatam class starts. So I have something to, timeline to look forward to. And then secondly, when I'm chanting, I'm trying to listen to my own chanting. But the chanting of the other devotees who are chanting very Shuddha Nama also inspires me and, keeps me focused. Although we don't chant in synchrony, like together, but still it has that effect of, encouraging you and giving you more focus. That's my personal understanding. And it's true, it was not there at the time of Prabhupada, but Prabhupada was always willing to use the technology in the service of Krishna, like he used to talk about typewriter and tape recorder and other things, which are not there at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur or other acharyas. So that's what I have a question for Swami Krishna Prabhu. Is it something we are doing right, or should we stop, or what should we do?
So Prabhuji, some
devotees, they don't like to. They don't do their own chanting. They don't join the japa call. They are like my wife. Sometimes doesn't like to join. She thinks her personal chanting is better. So
it is up to individual and. We are saying that, I said that we should use... Yes, Mataji.
This Prabhuji is telling you that I also join every day this japa session, and it's very helpful. I really like to chant with the devotees because it actually, for me, when Prabhuji shared the video or Mataji shared, please join the japa. That time I feel, and then when I open, even though if in my bed also just I open the phone, and the devotee chanting is so encouraging, and just everything I finished and I start chanting. But what myself personally do in the beginning, when I need strength from the devotees, just open the conference call, but there is an option, Prabhu. If you want to hear, if you don't want to hear other devotees, you just do it. The speaker is there, you just close the speaker and then focus on your chanting. Mostly I do, I just go down doing the speaker. The speaker is the sound you listen. But if you want to focus in your own chanting, just don't open that speaker. And then I can hear myself. And that I can do if I feel the mind is wandering here and there. Again, I open that speaker and then I can listen other devotees chanting. I can get encouraged to. That personally I do, and it's very, very helpful to chant with all the devotees for my. Thank you, Prabhu.
Yes, yes, perfect. We should use the technology. We are saying the same thing. All of us are saying the same thing. Only I am saying that, as Mataji, you said, that we should use the technology and we can take the inspiration from other devotees. But for 2 hours, we should not hear other devotees. We should chant and hear our rounds. And in between, if we are feeling sleepy, we are feeling that our mind is troubling too much, we may stop for a few seconds and see how other devotees are attentively chanting. And again, you know, take the strength from them, inspiration from them, again continue the chanting. Yes, that's perfect. I think we'll stop. It's time has extended. And I have another class also. Some devotees are waiting here in Bombay.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
So, thank you very much, all of you. Shri Prabhupada ki.